part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 108.
The Halloween special,
the
John.
The Halloween special.
We've dropped the ad hoc. Ad hoc will now only apply to those shows that we have to do Skype.
Only.
Where I have to Skype in. And or if we do it out of sequence. For example, if Rick calls and says, yeah, I can't make practice Thursday night. And we say, hey, man, you want to do an ad hoc
podcast? No doubt. I get that.
But this will just simply be episode 108, John. The Halloween special.
I'm having some issues here, man. Man, I'm not used to this coming back to the studio, you know what I'm saying now?
Right on.
We're back in the studio. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Yeah, how you doing? And thanks for coming to the listening to the show.
We have been listening to Red Bar Radio with Mike D.
That's right. Hey, just remember, when you're listening to John and Scott, the W's listening to you.
Right on, John. All right, John, we got a lot to cover on this Halloween special. A lot to cover. And I'm going to blame?
You're going to blame it all.
I'm going to blame my mispronunciation and my misspeak, and I'm going to blame all our technical difficulties on Satan, okay? Because it is the Halloween special.
Right on.
And that fucker hasn't been here in a while.
No doubt.
He'll join us later.
He might.
First things, John.
It's kind of damp in here.
It is.
And windy.
That's all right.
The Wendy special?
I have a little hoodie I can pull up, see? Over my earphones. Isn't that nice?
There's some weird bubbling. And rats.
All right, so we were online Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. I had school. I got out of school late. What a goddamn nightmare that was. Anyway, I told John, be online. Let's try to call in because the mediocre show is now live on Wednesday nights.
Oh. And how'd they pull that off?
I don't know. They're on, I wish I had more information. They're on some website that they're streaming live. You can listen to their show live. They have a phone number you can call in live, and we are going to do that.
Ah.
But you were too lazy to bring the microphone from your car into the house. Isn't that right?
No.
Oh, no, that was the last podcast. You used a shitty mic instead of the good mic because you were too lazy to...
No, I wasn't too lazy. It's the only one I got hooked up, man.
Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. So anyway, right when... So we're IMing each other. Is that the proper term there, John?
I didn't know you were talking to them. Hello.
Well, I wasn't, not audibly, no, but I did IM Eric Tomorrow, the great Eric Tomorrow. But you sent me a link,
and
it was the funniest fucking shit on the web ever, John, on the web ever. And I wonder if it's just because we're in a band that we think it's funny.
Yeah, it could, I don't know. Yeah,
but
it could be.
Does the common man think it's funny? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying, man. I know what you're
somebody
getting
who's
to.
Not in a band or whatever, but
isn't everybody in a band nowadays? Hey, dude, I play drums. Everybody plays drums that I know of.
Really?
Yeah, just about.
Well, if you go out to YouTube,
I've been crying about it.
If you go to YouTube, the username is Saint Sanders, St. Sanders, and this man is a fucking genius, John. A fucking genius. What he does is he takes live video footage of live concerts. And sometimes when the guitar player is shredding and sometimes when he's not.
Right.
And he overdubs his own audio to these video. And it's the goddamn funniest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I get a headache laughing so hard when I watch Saint Sanders, ST Sanders.
Yeah, I witnessed that.
If you want to see one of them, we posted one of them on our media page. So if you go to our website, TotalTalkNonsense.com, go to the media tab.
Yeah,
there. We did post one, the one with Ozzy, and what's the guitar player's name for Ozzy?
Jake E. Lee.
Jake E. Lee.
That's right.
But if you want to see... Funny. This man has an entire collection of these goddamn things. Saint Sanders.
Yeah.
I like the Ozzy one. I just saw the Carlos Santana one tonight. It's fucking genius.
Especially the drumming.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
And the Iron Maiden one, which John just turned me on to tonight as well. Now, John, you turned me on to all these things, but you got... Who sent you this link?
Marty. No, I'm sorry. Volpe. Yeah.
Who's been on our show.
Yeah. Who wanked a little, and that's it.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't do covers, and then we saw him play covers at the Beacon. That fucking loser.
Like within 2 weeks of saying he doesn't do covers anymore.
Oh, dude, man, I don't do covers, man.
People can change their mind, all right?
Whatever.
And he gets a pass for sending us this brilliant man's work.
Okay, if I start raping boys and then change my mind, it's okay? Is that, what are you saying?
What do you mean, change your mind? Why would you change your mind about that?
Because it's just not right. It's ugly.
So check that out. Also, some other website updates. So check out the media page to look for the funniest fucking thing ever. Also, Spenny was supposed to administer to the forum last Wednesday. Something came up. She was not able to do that. It should be this Wednesday. The forum will be down temporarily while... Our darling Spenny from the UK takes care of that.
Right.
also, when I was just surfing, John, I'm going to check out the Spazmatics because you told me that when you took Tony Hearn from the Great Punky Show over there to see the Spazmatics, Steve wasn't even there.
Right.
Wasn't even in the Spazmatics.
Not even there.
He's not in the Spazmatics anymore.
Not. He's not?
He is not.
How do you know?
Because if you look, go to his MySpace page, he's got no mention of the Spazmatics whatsoever.
What is he doing?
He's changed. He used to be Lamar, right? He's not Lamar anymore. He's Stevie Ray.
In what?
I have no idea. Nobody knows. So he has a ton of messages. Hey, I missed you at the show. I missed you at the show. So he hasn't been with the Spazmatics for a while. What's going on with
formerly I'll tell you what's going on.
Lamar.
Did I tell you what's going on? You remember they were next door over here.
Yeah, that's how we know them. They, in the rehearsal space that we have, they were right down the hall. And that's how we got to know them.
Right.
And we've seen a couple of Spazmatic shows, and they were fucking brilliant, John.
Brilliant.
I didn't see the one that you went with Tony Hearn to.
They're the same.
Same thing, same show?
Yeah,
well,
same.
A lot of people on the MySpace were saying it's just not the same without Lamar. It's just not, John.
Because they're all broads, man.
Yeah, they are. I mean, these guys.
It's not the same without your dick hanging down the little shorts. Well, here's the deal. I got the update from Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Our neighbor looks just like, hello.
Hello.
What's going on with my mic,
it's a dirty
man?
Pot, man.
No,
dirty pot.
No, see, you made me hook up this fucking
Hey, don't.
Shit,
hey.
And
don't,
now it's all fucked up. Anyway.
Theater of the mind.
So, I didn't say anything. You're ruining
right
it.
On.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta.
If you
neighbor.
Know what you're doing, why is your mic all fucked up then? Go ahead.
Hey,
continue
why don't
with
you
the story.
Do it, genius.
Continue with the story.
Ray Liotta next door, our neighbor who's a guitar player.
Right on.
So I'm dropping some shit off on Wednesday, and I'm meeting Rick at a bar. And or Wednesday, Thursday. Did I say Wednesday?
You did say Wednesday.
Okay, Thursday. And because you couldn't come to practice because you had to make grilled cheese or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But
that's a good story. You want to hear that story?
Your mom.
Continue, and I'll tell
anyway,
you a great story
so
about my
so
mom.
I run into Ray Liotta, and I said, "Hey, man, do you know what's going on down there? They moved out. I'm getting worried. This place is up for grabs now." He said, oh, no, they moved out because somebody ripped off all their musical equipment.
Did that happen again?
Yeah, again.
Twice?
Again, yeah.
Oh, well, is that because they have two doors, one in front and one in back, right?
It's all fucked up. They got 15 people with keys, and So I said to this guy, I'm like, right. Oh, we got to get the fuck out of here. And he goes, why? I don't think anybody can get in our place because all the windows have plywood over them, and they're like got like 500 screws. You'd have to take a fucking axe. We'd burn alive in here. There'd be no escape.
Yeah, this is a fire hazard.
Totally. And he said that, so he saw those egg crates that we got, and they were stacked in the garbage, and he thought we quit, and, you know, we just broke up, the band, and we left.
He thought it was us.
And then he got the lowdown that those guys moved out, and they moved out because all their shit got ripped off.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, that's some expensive stuff, too. And they were ripped off before because somebody left the back door open. Somebody stole a motorcycle out of there.
Yeah, but this time it's got to be an inside job. Like
yeah, that's
said,
what he
there's,
said.
There's 15 people with fucking keys, man.
That's what Ray said. Actually, his name is Bill, but I accidentally called him Ray to his face. Bill. Oh, sorry.
So we don't even know if we'll ever see Steve
again. He wants
again.
Me to play drums for him.
Who doesn't? Ray. Everybody wants them to play you to whatever for them.
He wants a bass player, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, do you know anybody?
Yeah. He kept saying, yeah, Scott, you're a guitar player. No, that's our bass player.
Other guy, Rick.
The other guy, what's
have
his
him
name?
Play bass.
Rick. No, he didn't say that. He just wanted to jam. Mm. And what he wants to do is he's got like 10 songs written, and he wants to come over here and record and rehearse and do it in a studio. And then he wants to go down to the South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you know about that, but it's like a big it's like a American Idol for bands.
Uh-huh,
and you get like a wristband. You go bar to bar, and you got like 20 minutes to play in each bar.
Sweet.
And the people on the panel at one time way back when were like Robert Plant, and you run into, you know,
to a
everybody.
To a date. To a date.
You run into everybody who's who in music down there. It's right around St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I had talked to you about you and I just recording some shit. Let's come up with a punk band, record an album, take photographs of young kids. They could be the band, you know, the marketing
angle.
Okay,
that doesn't sound right. Let's take photographs of young kids.
That doesn't sound right, does it? Young men. Take photographs of young men.
Oh, that's great. Okay, Larry Craig.
And then... because we can post the shit on iTunes now for like $10. You can post a whole catalog of songs.
Right, right.
We come up with a bogus MySpace page, right? And
Just give it all away.
Yeah, there you go. I just gave it all away. We could take that out and post.
Right.
All right, John, I saw a movie. Did you see any movies? You know,
did
I got the.
No, I did not.
I got like 30 channels that I can see what the neighbors order on demand. And somebody, was it Saturday night? No, it had to be Friday night. Friday night ordered Georgia Rule. Georgia Rule.
Really?
Yeah, and I missed the first part of it. There are rules. There's Georgia Rules.
There's Georgia Rules?
Georgia Rules.
There's no rules.
No, there's Georgia, because Jane Fonda plays Georgia.
And that's the truth.
She's the grandma.
There's no question in my mind. There's no rules.
So you got Jane Fonda, you got Lindsay Lohan, you got Felicity Huffman, you got the guy from The Princess Bride. What's his name? I can never pronounce that guy's name. Carrie.
Wood?
Eloise.
Who cares?
And Dermot Mulroney.
Now,
Jane Fonda, I think she got nominated to me. She was a goddamn cartoon character, so just cross her off, okay?
Right.
She's just there. She functions for what she needs to do. I thought Lindsay Lohan did a great job. I thought Felicity Huffman did a great job. And she was married to the Princess Bride guy. And then Dermot Mulroney's like a veterinarian. And I used to hate Dermot Mulroney for some reason.
Who's that?
Some actor.
Yeah.
I just didn't like him, but this role, I think he does fabulous. I saw him in The Wedding Date. I thought he did great, you know. He was in Zodiac, a little small part in Zodiac. I think this man is really maturing as an actor, John.
It's out of sight.
So anyway, this movie is one roller coaster of a ride, John, and it's based on one lie. Is it a lie or is it the truth? And they keep presenting it so you believe one side or the other.
Right.
And when you believe one side, you get so fucking enraged, and then it just flips, and it goes the other way.
Nice.
And you're like, well, what the fuck? Now you're enraged,
but
for a different reason.
But because...
There's no rules.
Well, there are rules.
Oh.
There's Georgia rules.
Oh.
And that's the truth.
But it basically, Felicity Huffman, her daughter's Lindsay Lohan, right? And she's married to this Princess Bride guy. He's the stepdad. And Lindsay Lohan's out of goddamn control, and they got to send her to Idaho to be
Idaho.
With Jane Fonda, who lives in Idaho.
Idaho?
So Lindsay Lohan hooks up with the town stud, right? The hunk?
Yeah.
Turns out he's a Mormon.
Ah.
One of the funniest parts of the movie is she makes a move on him, and he feels so goddamn guilty about this that he has to drive Lindsay Lohan to the college that his girlfriend goes to.
Wow.
And tell her.
Shit, I got
it. It's
confess
barbaric.
That.
Confess?
That he got oral sex.
Oh, nice.
The evil one.
Nice.
But I don't recommend it to everybody. I guess, who would I recommend it to? I don't know.
9-1-1 was so unbelievably good.
I liked it, though.
That's great.
I liked it, John. You should check it out.
There's no rules.
You should check it out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there
no doubt.
Explosions?
No.
I want to know who I'm helping.
There's
all
no
all
explosions.
The fight,
but I got to tell you, Lindsay Lohan is the biggest goddamn whore on the planet. And you're like, why is she such a whore? Why is she such a slut?
Is the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You will when you watch the movie. It is the Halloween special, Jim.
It is.
Now, earlier in the week, no, it was just yesterday. And what are the odds of this? My wife happens to be looking out the window when a minivan runs over our neighbor's dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, my wife really freaked out about that. And I never know what to do. So the dog gets up, it manages.
Give me an example of what your wife's reaction was.
I mean, she's I told the one story when we used to work together 12, 15 years ago. She saw an accident out on the street. She just said, somebody's in an accident on the street. And she just ran out of the office. And she's down there, like, assisting and giving comforting words to these people that are about to goddamn die from this accident. So she wants to help. She wants to go and do something. So the dog manages to get back to his driveway, collapses. The owners come out. They are, like, in shock. My wife wants to do something, but it's their dog. They're there. We don't really know these neighbors. So I get her back in the house and she's just, really broken up about this. And I don't think the dog made it. I don't think there's any way the dog could have made it after what she described to me. So now, because something like that happens, I have no problem with my dog getting hit by a car. I don't care one way or the other.
Oh, Jesus. Because
I think it's like survival of the fittest,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. You're such a liar.
Plus, he never gets out of the yard.
Yeah.
But,
let's tell a story about Elvis.
As far as the kids, I'm just, like, my son came out. I was mowing the lawn today, and he came out, and he got within 10 feet of the street. And I was like, hey!
I know. I think, you're a priority shift, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one time I was like, I don't care if the kids run out in the street, just as long as the dog doesn't get hit. And then I changed my mind.
When did you have that priority?
No, I'm kidding. Never. No, I know what you're saying. The first time I had kids, I remember I was telling when Phil was playing bass in the band and Rick and was playing, you know, it was back in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, the wife's knocked up. We're going to have a kid. And we have this daughter, you know, and I'm like, Jesus, I don't know, man. This is fucked up. The worry for me is the shit I don't like, you know. And Phil had perfect advice for me. He said, well, don't just don't get so attached to him. That's it.
That is excellent advice.
Yeah, all right.
Well, that's the way I feel about animals. And it's probably because of my first dog. I got too attached to him, and I couldn't handle it when he left this earth, John.
All right, now don't get all.
But so I've detached myself from. But and every time I run over a goddamn squirrel, I get pissed off at the squirrel. Like what DNA do you have that you can't get out of the way of a fucking car? Stupid ass squirrel.
Well, we're in his world. We've run a road right through his world.
No. No, he's in my world.
Oh, okay.
He can move.
Higher in the food chain.
And the squirrels in my neighborhood, they attack my pumpkins. Right. They're shredded.
Yeah. You know what you put on them? WD-40. And
on the pumpkins?
Touch it. Yeah, they won't touch it.
I gotta do that. And they go through my garbage?
Yeah. WD. Did I ever tell you the story about Joe and I hitting a dog?
Yeah.
That was brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, and I
and
felt
it went
for
right
the guy.
Under my foot, the part of the floor where my feet were.
Oh,
it was brutal.
You know, I tried to put myself in the shoes of the guy who actually ran over the dog, and at first I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm so goddamn sorry.
Oh,
but then
God.
I would think, why is your fucking dog off the leash and running in the goddamn street? I'd get pissed off at the owners then.
Yeah, I hear that.
But the entire length of the minivan, crumple, 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 crumple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Brutal. I didn't even see it, and I was, ugh.
This was today?
Yesterday.
Oh. I talked to your wife today. She sounded fine.
Yeah, she got over it. I took her out to a black tie event yesterday.
That's nice, yeah.
We got all liquored up, and... We bid on some things in an auction.
Dork. Oh, black tie event.
She got pissed.
Were you doing your bit with your pinky out, doing the Jim Beam?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Hey,
but we had the paddles, you know, for the live auction.
Oh, you're dorks. Oh, my God.
So one of them was a four-night stay in some hotel in Switzerland. And
you guys are not a aristocratic scum.
What do you mean?
That shit...
Yes. Hmm.
Well, let's bid on this piece of art.
No, this was
$400,000.
This was a trip to Switzerland.
I get it.
So the I like to start off the bidding because if nobody else is interested, then you get a really good deal because they always start off below the market value.
Yeah.
So the trip for Switzerland, boom! I raise my paddle, $6,000 in the back.
Oh no.
So,
what?
I'm waiting.
God damn it.
For somebody else
please,
to come
God.
Up with 65.
Oh, I don't believe in God, but now I do.
Do I hear seven? Do I hear seven? How about 65? How about 60? And it went on for I'm like, oh no. And he was just about to say, going once. But somebody put up for 65.
Oh. Ooh.
And I think it ended up at...
You're telling me you need a second job?
Yeah, I think it ended up at $7,500.
You'll need one for sure, man.
Well, like the year before, they had a Harley Davidson.
Dude, we need to do some gigs.
they had a Harley Davidson, and I opened up the bidding. But then, I mean, it just went... Like, I opened up at $5,000, and the thing was at $25,000 in 2 minutes.
Damn.
So that was not a big deal. But this time, I open up the bidding, and nobody's bidding. Hey.
Oh.
If it was for charity. It's a tax deductible, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's true, yeah.
But needless to say, the wife removed the paddle from me and would not let me.
I'd beat you senseless with it, I hope.
So that took her mind off the dog thing. The dog.
Yeah.
All right, John. I talked briefly about the mediocre show before. We tried to get on their live show, which is Wednesday nights.
Right.
Next Wednesday's Halloween. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to do that.
Do what? Do what?
Hook up with you to call into their show.
This Wednesday. Dude, I got to work, man. It's a nightmare.
Oh, you got to work?
We had a big
meeting. Oh, it's month end, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting fucked in the ass, really. I worked all day yesterday.
Oh.
I'm getting the big ass fuck. That's why, you know, I'd rather be smarmy and sell out and do a radio show.
All right, let's do it then. What do we need to do?
Fucking not work another day in my life.
Let's do t-shirts. Let's start whoring ourselves out. Like Pauly B to every other podcast.
Yeah, because then we could have somebody pay for our trip to the UK.
Right, right on. Oh, have you listened to the latest Punky? Have they got that shit worked out yet?
No, but somebody said...
Well, you can't even understand that cocksucker Pauly B.
Didn't we have an email that said that?
Yeah, we did have an email. We get a lot of emails.
Should I read that?
All right.
Do I have it? I think I have
it. Well, hold on for the email section. Let me just quickly talk about the Mediocre Show. Now, I listen to my podcast in bulk, so I'll get 10 of Skeptic's Guide and listen to all 10 of them. Then I'll move on to my next one. So I'm going through my 10 of my mediocres, and Taylor's in half of them, and then Matt's in half of them. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And apparently...
What the fuck is going on is right!
Oh, and the other fucking thing that happened, my son comes by and he unplugs my iPod when it's hooked into the computer. So now that's jacked up. I got to reinstall software and...
Just get a new one.
Yeah, what the... Jesus Christ!
Get a new one.
The fragility of an iPod, John.
Get an Arcos.
So, from the April Fool's joke that the Mediocre Show did, and Matt came in and he covered for Taylor, I thought Matt did a great job. And now Taylor decides that he's going to sell T-shirts at Megadeth concerts. And he just ups and leaves. He just leaves the Mediocre Nation. I'm like, what is that? And the Mediocre Show, to me, it's like a Punky. Like, Punky sold out, I think, way too early to that Adam Curry fuckface. Because what the new web is all about, John, is driving people to your website, driving them to your website, and then making money off that. And if you need a podcast directory to help you get that started, that's fine. But then to sell out to fucking Adam Curry, when Punky's way bigger than Adam Curry.
Right, right.
And that's my point. And so now the Mediocre Show is maybe even a better position than Punky to make big money off of their broadcasting.
Big dough.
By driving people to their website. And what does Taylor do? He leaves to sell T-shirts for Megadeth concerts. You know, I may not have the whole story. I haven't gotten through all 10 of them.
That's right.
But I got to tell you, Matt, in my opinion,
He's the shit, man.
I mean, this guy is funnier than shit. He and Eric...
And shit's pretty funny.
Go back... It is. It is funny. Go back a long way. They share a lot of stories. They have a lot of stories about each other. This Matt is quick. He's quick. He's funny. I laugh fucking out loud, John.
Yeah.
I laugh out loud.
Yeah.
When I was EMing? No, IMing Eric tomorrow. You know, I told him that.
Eric
I said,
today.
Hey, is it today or tomorrow? I told him that. I said, hey, does the nation give Matt any props?
Because
he should get fucking props. And from the podcast that I hear, they call in and they say, hey, Eric and Taylor's, like half of them don't even know that Matt is there. And then the other ones, hey, Eric and the Band-Aid. Hey, Eric and Spackle. Hey, Eric and the other guy. Hey, Eric and the guy that's not Taylor. So he's not getting his props, man.
That's right. So we're going to give him his props right now.
But, and I didn't bring a clip in, and I should have.
Eric and Matt.
What happens now is when Taylor's on the road, he calls in, you know, just to give an update.
Ah.
And I've never heard Taylor so goddamn excited as when he's calling in. And Matt made that same observation. We listened to 100 podcasts with Taylor. And he's just like, yeah. You know, he's kind of mellow.
You fucking dick.
But when he's calling in from a Megadeth tour, the guy is on amphetamines or something. It's unbelievable.
Fucking my ass. What else?
But one of the things that I wanted to ask him if we did get on the show was, first of all, what is your demographic now? And I think it might be changing. Because with Matt, the whole it's still the mediocre show, but the whole texture, if you will, John, of the show changes. And I wonder how many people are going to stick around, how many people are going to leave, but how many new... I think the potential for new listenership is through the roof, John. Through the roof.
See?
And don't sell out.
Yeah.
Draw those motherfuckers to your website and cash in. Because I'm going to go buy a mediocre t-shirt, man. They got some kick-ass t-shirts.
No doubt.
They got... they got the... Great names. They got the Mediocre Show, right? Then they got Eric Tomorrow and Matt. Matt needs to come up with a cool name. And then...
Matt Yesterday.
They got the Mediocre Nation.
Matt Today.
John, the Mediocre Nation.
Mediocre Nation. I like that. That's
marketing.
Nice.
What do we got?
TTN Nation.
Yeah, we... we keep it simple. How about the TTN...
TTN Nation.
No, we can't be Nation.
Oh.
No.
TTN Knuckleheads.
But they got the brass knuckles on their t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Like tough guys.
Yeah, he ain't tough guy because they're from Philadelphia.
Philly.
Hey, sorry. Sorry we kicked your ass over by there.
Over by there.
But Detroit come over and fucked us up today.
Oh, did we beat Philly last week there?
Yeah, we beat the Philly.
Philly what?
But the... Philadelphia Eagles, smoker.
The Philadelphia. Yeah, but isn't Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania?
Nobody
pays attention to the Eagles, right? It's all about the Steelers.
About? They're great. McNabb's famous now because of Rush Limbaugh.
Those guys are into hockey anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. No, no, but Eric sent me some pictures of some shots he took of the stadium from the inside. He's a pretty good goddamn photographer, if you
pretty
know what I'm
good
saying.
One there, John.
He's over by there.
Oh, and you know the other thing. You know, I've been listening.
I like to go to Philly, but I'm scared because last year they were talking about Philly and somebody got shot in the toe.
In the toe in a drive-by. Hey, but here's the thing there, John. I can't remember what I was going to say. Here's the thing I was going to say, John. They got Rocky, right? He was Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Rocky?
No doubt.
Right on. Rocky Balboa.
They got
Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa. No doubt.
Detroit stinks!
Oh, here's the thing I was going to say. I haven't listened to...
You got a big mouth, you know?
I'm making my way through the bulk of 10 mediocre shows.
Right.
But you would think that our promo, the greatest promo ever...
Greatest...
would be played, especially now with Matt in the chair where Taylor used to be. You'd think they'd play that fucking thing over and over, but I haven't heard it once. Oh, and here's the other thing.
I just don't care.
When Taylor, like I went on hiatus, John. I took a 6-week hiatus, and I told you, if you want to continue, get a guest. And let's say the guest was the greatest guest ever, and the podcast went through the roof, and you would have every right to say, yeah, you can't fucking come back. Do whatever you want, or you can come in, you can guest, or
you can
submit some promos or whatever you want.
Why would I say that?
Like if whoever you brought in, the podcast went through the roof. Let's say you quadrupled exponentially the listeners.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And they're like, well,
and then you want to come back. And
yeah,
you go,
I want to come back.
Hey, what the fuck, man? I helped create this thing, man.
And
what the fuck?
You'd say, hey, man, we got something going good here. If you want to contribute maybe in this way. So that's the real question I want to ask Eric is he expecting Taylor to come back? And if Taylor does come back, does he just boot Matt on the fucking street? Or how is that going to work? How is that going to work, John?
Since when does our podcast concern other podcasts? What are you talking about, man?
We've talked about
20
Punky,
minutes on the fucking
Chicken Fried Radio.
Now we're goddamn
Air Out My Shorts, Kinky Sex Radio.
Shit. Ladies and
gentlemen, Nobodies.
For your podcasting news, come tune in to TTN.
What was the RBPC show?
That's right, I know.
We've talked about them all, John.
RBPC.
We've talked about them all.
Yeah, what was those guys? They were like Marble Mouth and
I don't know.
Frankincense and Marble Mouth.
Well, you know, when this first dawned on me that he left the show, he left the show. Like, I went on hiatus. It's basically leaving the show. I'm coming back. Taylor left the show. I got angry, but then I was like, well, wait a minute. I left the show, too. But I came back, and I was scheduled to come back. Is there a schedule for him to come back?
I was talking to some people about starting the John Cast.
The John Cast, and you should have.
No.
Why not?
Because I suck by myself.
That's not true. How could you suck?
Well, I would.
You have to have another person there to suck.
I would chop that fucking thing up like crazy. It would be just bits.
Just bits. Just bits.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on from the mediocre show. But I'm a big fan now. I was a fan.
I turned you on to that fucking show, man.
I was a fan before. I'm a big fan now,
John. You were not a fan. You said you could not stand them.
I didn't say that, you cock-sucking son of a bitch.
I can't fucking listen to that show.
I said that about Punky, not about the mediocre show.
I said I can't stop listening to them. There's something about him driving up to the drive-thru at McDonald's and ordering my food and hearing him say, fuck, really loud in the late. Excuse me? No, I said I'd like a bacon, an egg, and cheese bagel.
Right on.
Right.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese bagel.
Bagel.
And then they say, fuck, dude.
Fuck, dude.
Dude. All right, dude.
All right, John.
Yeah.
Did we get any comments?
Oh, comments?
Yeah.
Comments? Do you want me to look at the comments?
I don't know. Did we get any? I don't even know.
We did, but I never remember where the fuck we left off last time.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me check here. Let me check the mailbag. All right. Did I read Surf Durfles last
Surf
time?
Durfles?
How about GodTube Guy?
GodTube Guy.
I think you should get him to sing Scott's God Hates Fags song from a while back. That would be fan-fucking-tastic. Play the song again. It rocks. That's from Garnt. Oh, dumbass. Jesus Christ. I can't even spell my name right. Grant.
Oh, he left two comments.
Yeah, because he, yeah.
Do you remember the God Hates Fags song? I don't remember that one. God Hates Fags.
We'll have to look that up. Total ad hoc nonsense. Ah, that's pretty funny. I hate that we missed your private party. A stupid wedding interfered, but I'm still listening and digging the nonsense. I can't get enough of you two getting drunked. Baked and generally goofy and still managing to have a better understanding of the world than the W. Submitted by Font Master Stranger. I don't know what the fuck that says. FNTMS Stranger.
All right, yeah. If you don't
Phantom
know what it
Stranger,
says.
Phantom Stranger.
Why would you
Phantom
spell
Stranger.
It?
Phantom Stranger.
All right, John. Set the comments.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait a minute. I think there's something on MySpace.
MySpace. Your space or MySpace?
It could be yours. Could be yours or mine. My space. Whoa. What's happening? Hold on a second. Let me get back to the music. There we go. It's hard, Scott. You just don't understand. It's hard.
Oh, I can see from here.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, it's taking forever. What's going on here?
Come on, man. Spit it out.
Shut up. Well, what about the email we got? Do you want to read that about...
Yeah, we got a lot of email. Well...
I got a winner.
No,
possibly.
I got a winner. Possibly. Potentially.
What time did yours post?
Well, they're all winners, John. All winners. Let me read my first winner. This is Patrick. Patrick on Friday, October 26th at 7:08 p.m. Festivus Big Peters. Hey, guys. Festivix lyrics are from the Rolling Stones song Bitch. And do you have that available, John? The Festivus Peters?
Do I?
All right, then. I'm probably too late, but it just struck me after days of thinking I knew the song, but just couldn't think of the damn thing. So we had a contest. Here it is. We got Festivus Big Peters to read.
I'm feeling drunk, juiced up and sloppy. Ain't touched a drink all night. I'm feeling hungry. Can't see the reason. I just had a horse meat pie. Yeah. When you call my name, I salivate like a Pavlov dog. Uh-huh. When you lay me out, my heart starts beating like a big bass drum.
All right, so that was the our first Festivus contest. Festivus? Festus.
Festivus, Festus.
So Patrick came in at Friday, October 26th.
No doubt.
He got hooked onto us while watching an episode of Cult of UHF and has been hooked ever since.
Right.
Right on, no doubt.
Right on.
Thanks for everything you guys do.
And who is that?
That is Patrick.
Patrick submitted his?
Friday, October 26th at 7:08 p.m.
And what was his answer?
It was the Rolling Stones' Biatch.
Biatch.
Biatch. And that is the correct answer, John. Biatch.
I got, hi, the song is Bitch by the Rolling Stones from Mark. Mark at Baseline. Mark submitted on 10/26 at 9:25 a.m.
9:25 a.m. All right, John. Well, then I have the winner.
You do?
Yes. Phil, and you know Phil.
Phil, that's right.
Phil, Thursday, October 25th at 1:35 p.m.
Wow.
Hey, guys. Well, I'm not sure if this was the only one recited originally, but I identified the song you replayed as Bitch by the Rolling Stones. Every time I hear or think of this song, I can't help remembering that Knob Rocks gig. When a very drunk Brian sang this song very badly, incoherently. I recall Jeff, JP of the Nortown Ramblers in the crowd, shaking his head in dismay.
Wow! Holy shit!
Keep the ad hocs coming. I think they are just as complete and as thorough as the three-part episodes later. Philly Provolone Cheese is our winner, John. But they're all winners.
You know, we could probably get Phil to come on the show every single Sunday.
We probably could. I mean, what else is he doing?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing.
All right, so I have Phil's prize. I have it, and we can get him that prize, and he's going to love
it. It's out of sight.
It is an original. It is a authentic Steel Legion T-shirt. That is his prize.
Wow, a Steel Legion T-shirt.
Patrick,
should we sign it in like gold ink?
Of course. Patrick, and who is the winner you have? Mark?
Mark, yeah.
Send us your mailing address and we will mail something out to you.
A valuable prize.
Although you didn't win the grand prize. You did win,
yeah, something.
Redneck Recital. Now, Festivus.
Hold on, I got some
I keep calling him Festivus.
I got something for Mark.
Festus is not available, but
hold on a second.
Hold on. You hold on.
Fuck you, man. You know, I'm getting sick of this shit, man. Playing second fiddle to
what do you got?
I got
one
ass.
More email.
I just wanted to... Watch your mouth. God damn it.
I got one more email from Neo. Always drinking. Neo. Always drinking. Hi from Italy.
One backwards.
Hi from Italy.
Oh.
Hi, guys. Been listening to TTN, not from the beginning, but almost. After hearing Ad Hoc 106, decided to finally write you. By the way, I live in Italy.
Ah.
After I started listening to podcasts with Punky, which I still listen to, and you guys are absolutely right about Paulie's voice in the last two episodes, it's fucking horrible. And barely understand a word he says. Are they fucking deaf? Also, I think that Punky has lost its original freshness. It's not as appealing as it used to be. Music is still great, but the guys are not as funny as they used to be, John. And whatever happened to the Punky Dictionary? but I'm grateful to them because it was through Punky that I learned about TTN and got curious. It wasn't easy, though, because they were pronouncing Total Talk Nonsense so bloody fast.
Total Talk Nonsense.
I couldn't understand what the hell they were saying.
Total Talk Nonsense.
After paying close attention to what they were saying, I typed TTN Podcast on Google. Come and on. Wow. Wow, John, what a revelation.
Wow.
You know, it's he didn't write this in the email, but it's similar to,
oops.
For me, when I discovered The Who, like in 1982.
Who?
And then you get to look at the entire catalog of
The Who.
And listen to The Who.
And you go, what the fuck were they playing?
Right on. He says, our show really kicks ass, John.
Oh, thank you.
You guys do the fucking best podcast in the entire universe.
Wow.
Right on. And then he turned me on to this guy named Titor. Did you ever hear of Titor?
No.
Apparently, it's some jamoke who said he traveled back in time from the future.
Ah.
And then he's made a bunch of predictions, and they've all come out wrong. And he's done some other things, but the reason that the predictions are wrong is because when he traveled back in time, he started a parallel universe.
Ah.
So it's starting its own thread,
right,
so to speak,
right.
Its own destiny.
So when he comes back, it's the wrong place.
Right. So he's all about Titor.
Wow.
I never heard of Titor. Thanks for turning us on to Titor,
man. Titor.
Titor. But I think the guy's a crackpot because we're the only ones.
Or?
That it could be tit or. We are the only ones that can pull time travel off, okay?
That's right.
That's right. Right.
We
on.
Only have the only vehicle ever built.
Right
with
on.
Success.
Buy and keep up the good podcasting. There you have it.
That's out of sight, man.
So a listener from Italy chiming in, and I can't agree more about Punky. What the hell is going on with that audio? It's for shit. It makes me want to shoot an email to Adam Curry and say, I can't believe you're sponsoring.
Oh, dude,
I can't believe you're sponsoring
nice.
This shit, this kind of audio crap. Who's producing this? Oh,
you're going to start out an all-out Punky war.
No, I'm just kidding. If those guys know I'm kidding.
Keating.
Right?
Hey, Hand Banana said, bathroom at Bennigan's. Now, I must have been hammered. I don't remember this. But it says, thanks, dude. But you only enjoy it because I'm not calling you a homo. Someday Scott will meet his Larry Craig at Bennigan's. Until then, he'll have to live this lie for the man. I hope to guest in the show soon. Just let me know when you guys are recording. P.S. You guys would love Yeah Dude podcast, so check it out. I haven't checked that out.
Yeah Dude.
Yeah Dude.
Oh, there's a podcast that, I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about Mediocre again.
Oh my God. you love it so much, why don't you marry it, you fucking fag?
Well, I've been listening to episode after episode. I got it on the brain, you know what
you're
I'm saying?
Crazy. You're crazy.
But there's
crazy.
Another
you're
podcast
really
called Vomitus Prime.
Vomitus Prime.
That they do promos Vomitus for the Mediocre Prime. Show. And the promos are pretty good. It makes me want to check out their podcast. It's two guys and a girl,
wow.
Right? But then I'm like, do I have time for another goddamn podcast? And then I thought, well, I will. If Punky keeps putting out the shit they put out, I will have time for a new podcast.
I do not condone this. I don't.
No, I'm saying the content is still grade A, but I cannot understand Pauly B at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Hearn. I don't know what the hell the Tony Hearn is pulling there.
Yeah, he's sabotaging this.
Sabotage. It's sabotage, John.
Hey, Hand Banana writes again, 106 corrections. No, 106 corrections, not 106 of them. Hey, guys, just listen to Ad Hoc 106. Great show. The song in my profile is by the band Death Clock.
Which you play it on our
Death
106, right?
Clock,
Death
yeah.
Clock.
From the Adult Swim show. Metalocalypse. I believe you guys would enjoy the show. It's a cartoon, actually. Just type Metalocalypse episode on YouTube for all the songs. Death album on YouTube for all the songs. Death album. Yeah, okay. I know you guys are dyslexic, so just copy and paste the Metalocalypse, and I'd be nice to hear you guys pronounce that. Metalocalypse. it says, much respect and go choke on a hoagie.
A hoagie.
I have seen that. Actually, the heavy metal drummer guy that wants to be on our show and bring a bunch of heavy metal tunes that he thinks will scare us. And
that's the guy you work with, right?
He actually is a mechanic that comes in and services some of our equipment. Right. And he's a younger kid. We hit it off pretty good. And I showed him some of those videos that you were talking about earlier that were real funny.
By Saint Sanders?
Yeah. And he doesn't have a computer. So to listen to our show, he has to listen to it in my office.
Oh.
So I played him the one bit.
Did you burn him some CDs, man?
Yeah, that's a good idea. On the MySpace, I played that part about tetanus. And he was laughing so fucking hard, I thought he was going to have a grabber. And, yeah, but he turned me on to
What happened? If you're not reading it, you can't say
That's
it.
That's right. Metalocalypse. You say it, dickweed. Metalocalypse. Okay, relax there, you mo. The fuck.
All right, John, turning to celebrity news.
Yeah, talk into your cup, you you fucking Darth Vader. Wow.
Have you ever heard of the country music superstar, John Rich? Have you ever heard of him? John Rich.
No.
I have never heard of this motherfucker until a couple days ago. Anyway, he's of Big and Rich, right? That's the name of the band. Big and Rich. He believes that gays and lesbians are second-class citizens that should not be granted equal rights. In an interview with the Tennessean, John said he is an avid supporter of Fred Thompson's presidential bid because he's a conservative who agrees with Fred's voting record.
Oh.
The pro-lifer is against gay marriage. He tells the paper, I think if you legalize that, you got to legalize some other things that are pretty unsavory. he sums it up. That means, like, you have to then legalize bestiality? Who knows? Who knows what these idiots think? It's actually a risky thing for an entertainer to get into politics, but I'd rather take a chance on alienating some fans than sit by idly and watch Hillary Clinton go trotting into the White House. All right, so that's what he said.
Oh, my God.
That's what he said. Like, let's say that was last Monday, right? Yeah. Here's what he said on Tuesday, John. Here's what he said. Guess which way do you think it's going to go on Tuesday?
I don't know.
My earlier comments on same-sex marriage don't reflect my full views on the broader issues regarding tolerance and the treatment of gays and lesbians in our society. I apologize for that and wish to stay clearly my views. I oppose same-sex marriage because my father and minister brought me up to believe that marriage is an institution for the union of a man and a woman. However, I also believe that intolerance, bigotry, and hatred are wrong. People should be judged based on their merits, not on their sexual orientation. We are all children of God and should be valued and respected.
Wow.
How about that turnaround?
Yeah.
Hey, it is the Halloween special, John.
Yeah, it
is. I think I just heard Satan. I don't know if you did, but
what?
I think I just heard.
Hey, I got some celebrity news.
Satan. What's that?
Dumbledore's gay.
Dumbledore is gay, man. All our celebrity is gay all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
I heard that too.
Dumbledore is gay.
That's from Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, I got an audio clip of Bill O'Reilly, who just can't get off of the fucking subject.
Can't get off. That's funny, John.
That a fictional character is gay.
Is it fictional or fictitious?
Fictional, in my book, all right? I'm dyslexic.
All right, then. So let's hear what Bill O has to say about
Bill O,
Dumbledore.
This is what he has to say.
J.K. Rowling, the author of all those Potter books, says that Headmaster Albus Dumbledore is gay.
Yeah.
Did Dumbledore? You know Albus Dumbledore was gay?
Dumbledore?
Well, no, but...
Well, apparently there's a picture of him in Key West with three guys. I don't know. I don't even know who Albus Dumbledore is because I don't read these dopey books.
They're not dopey. They're very good books. But what does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Coming out and saying...
What are you asking me for? Did you know Albus Dumbledore was gay? He's gay.
Okay.
Albus Dumbledore. Harry Potter and the gay agenda. Apparently that's going
the gay
on.
Agenda.
Now reports say Miss Rowling has outed one of her characters as gay, which is causing some concern. If J.K. Rowling wanted to make the character gay, why didn't he just make the character gay? She just make the character gay and announcing that he's gay. I don't know. I don't get the strategy. Is it just publicity? And then drop the gay bomb on him. The question was,
the
is Dumbledore
bomb.
Gay?
Gay
worried
bomb.
In America about the gay agenda and the gay indoctrination thing is now Dumbledore is not overtly gay in the book. You wouldn't know whether he was gay or not. And says, oh, Dumbledore is gay, and that's all right. So I agree with you. The kids don't care whether Dumbledore is gay. They just want to read the book because it's a fun book. And leave that out of it.
Why not just say that? Why? This is his show so fucking in the tank that he has nothing else to talk about.
Well, yeah.
He must have said gay like 20 times in there, right?
Well, the clips that you pulled just, were from three or four different shows.
Four shows, and I just like took the gay. Every time he said gay, I dropped that in there. Gay bomb was my favorite.
What he was doing was trying to
gay bomb!
Was try to get anybody to agree with him that... this is indoctrinating, which is, I don't think is the appropriate word.
No.
But Bill O'Reilly's, the no spin zone, is that she's trying to make young men gay.
By writing this, right.
Yeah, outing, by now saying,
yeah.
Because then they'll be more acceptable to gayness and they'll be gay. They'll ignore snatch in pussy and suddenly become gay.
Right.
Because they read this book. Because
the gay bomb. They're infected by the rays of the gay bomb.
Well, that's why I think maybe O'Reilly's bi or something. Because why does he think
I
that?
I don't know.
Unless he was hit by a gay bomb.
I know.
In the form of somebody's balls cracking into his chin
get
or something.
Get the Geiger counter. I've been infected by gaydiation.
Well, I did hear that there's going to be all new printings of the Harry Potter books, and instead of Albus Dumbledore, it's going to be Albus Dumble in the back door. It's going to be
hold on, let me get the drums here.
Dumble in the, so you get that Dumble in the back door.
Nice, right. That's out of sight. Dork. Did you write that?
And O'Reilly calling these dopey books.
Dopey.
If there's anything on the planet that's a dopey book, it's anything he's written. It's a dopey book.
Anything.
Mandela's dead.
Anything that's. That's Bill O'Reilly is dopey.
Dopey.
Period. His coffee mugs, his fucking mouse pads.
Bill O. The O comes
Bill
from
O.
Dopey.
No doubt. Oh, my God. Wow.
All right, man. I thought I heard Satan. I guess.
Yeah, I've been here the whole time, you.
Oh, right on, man. Hey, it is the Halloween special.
Yeah.
It is a busy time for you, right?
Oh, it's tough getting up John's ass.
Oh,
I'll
no
tell
doubt.
You what. Well, he's sitting on this chair here, and I got to really squeak in between the chair and his ass cheeks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you mean. Yeah. Right on. So
I am Satan.
I mean, you got Halloween coming up, but you got time
right.
in your schedule to stop by TTN.
Yeah.
And talk with us.
Well, I've been hanging out, seeing what's going on, temptation, debauchery, death.
Well, I gotta give you some props.
Yeah.
I pulled this story.
Appreciate that. I like getting props.
Listen to this, and I think we owe a lot of this to Satan. About 8 in 10. Oh, wow. Jesus. Hey, did you bring your own soundboard in or
that's
what?
That's my son.
You got
a good devil. Stick your cock up her ass, you motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Ah, yeah, I love that talk.
The first mainstream use of cocksucker.
Yeah. Ooh.
The Exorcist, no doubt.
No doubt.
Anyway, get this, Satan. About 8 in 10, that's 80% of Americans, say they have no doubt that God exists. that prayer.
Wait a minute, what's that?
That God exists. That prayer is the most important part of their lives. 8 in 10 Americans. Eight. Can you keep up here? Or do you have headphones? Do you have cans on? What's going on?
I'm trying.
Let me start over. 8 in 10 Americans. 80% say they have no doubt that God exists.
All right.
That prayer is an important part of their lives, and that we will all be called before God at Judgment Day to answer for our sins.
Well, you know, I need that.
Well, God can't do it by himself. You got the yin and the yang.
Right.
You need Satan to have the sin, right?
Right.
So you are responsible for a big part of that. And I got to give props to you, man. Props to Satan.
That's right, man.
For that.
I need my cred.
No doubt. You definitely get the cred from me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, so you got any good movies coming out this Halloween season?
No.
No? None?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple.
Like a Saw 3 or something like
Saw
that?
Saw 4.
Saw 4?
Yeah, like a Saw 4. You duck. Dumbass. yeah.
Hey, man, have you talked to God lately? He doesn't stop by anymore.
I don't know what the deal is, man.
We've been trying to get
He's been really busy.
God, I was going to call him a blasphemous name. We've been trying to get him in for a while.
Who are you saying that goddamn God?
Should we just, maybe we should bring Jesus in. Would that piss him off, though?
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Bring his kid in, his son.
Yeah, it's the J-Man.
So what have you been up to?
About 350.
Yeah?
Yeah, I gotta go on a diet.
Really?
Yeah.
What does Satan eat?
All kinds of shit.
Yeah?
You name it, yeah.
Especially Halloween, you do the trick-or-treating? Do you get in on that?
You know, actually, I just, you know, run, scare people.
How do you do that?
Boo.
That's it?
Boo. Yeah, have you ever seen me? I'm a shapeshifter.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Like in Heroes.
Right.
Hero?
Yeah, you got it down there.
Or Sky High. Am I mixing things up?
Hey, speaking of movies, have you ever seen The Ring?
The Ring. I have not seen The Ring.
Hellraiser?
I have seen Hellraiser.
How about Nosferatu?
The original?
Yeah.
I think that's available online, and I have seen that.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's made in 1922.
Because it's public domain, man.
Yeah. How about The Descent?
No, haven't seen that one. No.
I've not seen it either.
You haven't? I think you would see all these things. Possibly
like
do
I
or you can't.
Time to see a movie.
You don't have time to go see a movie.
The Omen from 1976. That's my favorite.
Oh, that is a good one. What did you think of the remake?
It sucked ass.
Were you like a consultant on that or anything?
No. If I was a consultant, it'd be like fucking number one, man.
Oh, right
Come
on.
On.
Right on. So what you're saying is like you're a consultant for Adam Sandler movies then? Because they always open up number one.
Oh, you're funny there, asshole.
Like that Billy Madison, the worst fucking piece of thing put on celluloid.
Wait till I fly one of my big hot cocks up your ass, motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah. How about The Fly?
With Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, no
or
doubt.
Or the one with Vincent Price?
No, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I saw
it. Carnival of Souls, The Eye.
What is this, movie?
Scream!
Movie with Satan?
Yeah,
is this a new segment?
Movie list
where you just rattle off?
I rattle off movies.
Knucklehead. This is great.
Friday the 13th, Dracula.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's still tuned in.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I want to know what you're doing. What's been going on? What are you preparing? You got a Halloween coming up. Is there big preparations? Do you and the G-Man hang out?
I do the same every day.
Same thing every day.
I tempt.
Regardless.
That's all.
That's it.
It's all about lead us not into temptation. Well, I'm the reason why they created that clause right in the Our Father.
Lead
us not into temptation and deliver us from evil.
Which would be you. You are evil.
Deliver us from evil. And they need to teach that in the schools, in the churches, in order to get people to repent.
Well, yeah, you need...
Get away from their sins.
Porn. You need alcohol. You need all those vices. Mary Jane.
Marijuana.
Cocaina. And that's all you, man. That's all you.
Without me, there's no point having God.
I wouldn't go that far, okay?
Why would you need a God?
You would need a God because you would need some sort of afterlife. God represents that afterlife.
Why?
You, though.
Why would you need? I represent afterlife as well.
You're like the W regime. You go after the fear aspect of it.
No, no. I run Club Med for assholes.
Really? It's a nice place?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So it's not like being on hot coals for eternity?
No, nothing like that.
Really?
No, yeah.
I think you need somebody to handle your marketing
Man. What are you saying?
Well, everybody on the planet thinks that it's like roasting on coals and getting your balls
pulled in different
directions for eternity.
Eternal damnation has nothing to do with coals.
All right, so it's not hot?
No. Oh, I thought you were talking about the store.
I'm talking about hell.
Oh.
There's no suffering, is what you're saying?
Of course there's suffering.
What kind of suffering?
I suffer every day.
I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about
whining souls constantly bitching about how hot it is.
Okay, so it is hot. You just said it was Club Med.
It's a dry heat.
I'm confused. Is it like a carnival cruise, or is it...
It's Club Med, yeah.
Is it like I get hung up by hooks and somebody...
No, it's like a giant steam room.
All right.
At Club Med.
Well, what do you have to do? I mean, is there music? Is there...
Sure, there's music.
Is it good music, or is it like Barry Manilow?
It's like that.
You know, there's another theory that everybody's hell is their own personal kind of a thing. So, for example, I cannot stand listening to John Tesh music. So if I were to go to hell, John Tesh would be the background music that would play in hell.
Actually, that's just like fun for me.
What's that?
Little annoyances that drive people nuts.
Oh, so you do get off on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not only on here on Earth, but in hell.
Yeah, we have like a little YouTube where we videotape some of that shit. And me and the G-Man will sit around and watch it.
Yeah.
And just crack up. We'll crack open a couple of Hams beers. And
Hams? You guys don't drink the champagne or beers?
Oh, no, that stuff's shit.
Yeah. Hams, is that from God's water? What is the...
Yeah. Yeah? God's water.
What is it called?
Yeah, it just takes a piss out of mountain.
The God's Springs?
Right.
Something or other? So it was in their marketing campaign.
Some blue water.
Is that Hams?
Yeah.
From God's country? That's it, right?
No, I think that's Old Style.
Old Style's from God's country.
Yeah.
So you're knocking back the Hams and he's knocking back the Old Style?
He's a Stroh's man.
Stroh's.
He likes Stroh's.
Right on.
It's fire brewed.
Yeah, it's cheap, too.
It's fire brewed. Oh. I brew it myself.
Right on.
All right, so I'd like to do this Festivus Peters. What's that shit?
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold on. Yeah.
Can I take a crack?
What we do is Redneck Recital. Do you have some lyrics that you're going to...
Of course.
All right. You need to turn off this backing track.
I've been listening to the show.
Turn off the backing track.
Yeah.
All right, so this is very special moment on TTN history.
Very special moment.
Festus Red Peters isn't available. Festus Big Peters, I'm sorry, isn't available to do Redneck Recital.
Right.
But Satan is so kindly agreed to do Redneck Recital.
Egregious. Egregiously.
Well, that's out of sight. Well, whenever you're ready. So what happens? You're going to read some lyrics to a song.
I'll read them out to you.
And the fans have to tell us the artist and the title of the song to win fabulous prizes. And it all counts on that email timestamp, is what we've seen tonight. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and spit it out there.
Satan gave me a taco. A pink taco at that. Satan gave me a taco.
All right, man. was Pink Taco in the lyrics?
No, it wasn't. All right, so I added that myself. You like that?
Like, no, okay, I'll read
it. I guess it fits into your character because you try to deceive and you try to lie. But just stick to the lyrics, okay?
I don't lie.
Stick to the lyrics.
I'm sticking. Here we go.
Yeah.
Satan gave me a taco, and it made me really sick. The chicken was all raw, and the grease was mighty thick. The rice was all rancid, and the beans were so hard. Ooh, I was getting kind of dizzy, eating all the lard. Thank you so much.
All right, there you have it. Redneck recital.
Festus Big Peter's standing.
Done by
Satan.
Satan.
All right, thank you so much, but I gotta go, man.
All right, man. Am I gonna see you on Halloween?
Oh, absolutely. You want me to stop by the homestead?
Sure, right on.
Just I'll bring the G-Man.
Just don't possess my kids, okay? I don't want all
I wouldn't do that.
Puke and shit all over the place. And then we got to get some pedophiles to come over
soup.
And exercise them and
all
that shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right, so if you do come over, just keep away from my kids.
All right, I'll do that. I'll do that for sure.
All right, man.
Word.
Thanks for stopping
Word,
by.
Brother.
Word
okay.
up.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, that was out of
Dude.
Sight, man. Out
what are you
sight.
Talking about? I am so tired.
I don't know why.
And what were you talking about, Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah, she was in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on. Are you ready to move on?
Yeah, yeah. Man, my ass is killing me.
I have a shit story, if you're ready.
You do?
I don't know if you're ready for that or not.
Wow.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing duty back. Yeah. She's falling out my crack. Yep.
Yep.
I got to poop it, poop it. Yeah. I gotta wipe it. Yeah. Yeah.
Take him to the bridge.
Oh, sorry. I was into it, man.
Get this, man. If you're stuck in traffic when Mother Nature calls and you have to drop a deuce.
Oh, no.
Japan's Kaneko Sangboy Company has developed the loo for you. The manufacturer of plastic car accessories drew back the curtain on Tuesday on its new portable toilet for cars.
Oh, no
The way. Toilet comes with a curtain large enough to conceal users and a plastic bag to collect waste.
Waste?
Yes. Come on, we'll call it honey. During major disaster, such as earthquakes or when you are caught in traffic jam. A company official told reporters, according to Kyoto News. Japan is situated on the Pacific. I don't know if you knew that, John.
Pacific? Yeah.
And it accounts for 20% of the world's earthquakes of magnitude 6 or greater. Drivers stranded by tectonic movements are stuck in tailback, simply assemble the cardboard toilet bowl.
For tonic.
Fit a water-absorbent sheet inside and draw round the curtain. The product is small enough to fit in a suitcase, the company said. So I guess they got to worry about that kind of stuff in
wow.
Japan. Because they're stuck in traffic for, what, 12 hours? I don't know.
I tell you, I was almost selected for a... There's this project at the company I used to work for. It was a Japanese company, and it's one of those things where you have a bunch of executive managers, and they pick somebody. One guy sponsors, and then they all vote to see if this guy should go. And I forget what it's called. It's like a up and coming young executives group. And they were going to select me for this project to go over to Japan for like 6 weeks. And I did a project with a guy in Kentucky, and he was a guy that just came back from one of those projects.
Uh-huh.
And he told me it was the most fucked up thing he's ever done. And in the factories, when you go take a shit, it's just a hole in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you squat over the hole, and there's no door for the shitter. So you walk in, there's Japanese dudes with a newspaper, balancing over this hole.
You think you'd have to practice at that.
Right.
How big is the hole?
And then he told me a couple of times when he was out partying with some of the people he worked with, if you missed the last train back to the hotel, he'd have to stay in a hotel there, which you'd have to crawl into a tube in the city. It's like a...
I heard about those things, man.
And you sleep there.
Yeah, that'd be kick
ass.
And
you go back to work in the same clothes he had the day before.
Yeah, we should go to Japan.
Oh, he said it was brutal.
Check it out.
The way the Japanese, I've worked with a lot of Japanese. I think they're pretty great people, especially when they come over here for their big projects for, you know, like a year, 3 years. They don't want to leave. They love the culture. And, but he said over there, they're huge, they're major backstabbers because they're not totally non-confrontational. So they see who can bow the lowest, who can be the most humble, and then they're just fucking stabbing you in the back 10 seconds later.
Nice.
So I said, when my boss told me, oh yeah, I was going to put you in sponsor you for the next one. I said, forget it. Don't do it.
Why? It'd be a great experience.
Don't want it. Didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it.
Didn't want to do it.
You know, for this guy, it was perfect because he was single, and they gave him that project. And basically, he said, "Hey, I'll do whatever. You know, I'll move to New Jersey. I'll live there and work there for a while, and I'll move to Kentucky and I'll run that operation." He could fly all around and, you know, run certain operations. But because I was married with kids and my wife had no intention of leaving the company she was at, yeah,
right.
There was no way.
Right.
There was
on.
No way.
Right on.
If I was single, maybe. Yeah. I might have done it.
All right, John, I think it's time to turn to the heavy metal portion of the show. The heavy metal.
Wow. Yeah, no doubt.
Portion.
Heavy metal segment.
Coming up. You have any Larry Craig audio handy?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You ever hear planning?
No.
Go planning.
It's all in the planning, John. Planning.
No doubt.
You don't need a Larry Craig, but if you have one available, we can just hear a little bit of Larry Craig.
I don't. I don't even know where to look.
This pole smoker who's a senior.
A senior?
He's been one for 25 years, and he's dodged these gay rumors, John. Rumors. But now it may be public record that he's queer.
What?
Yes, because I have a story.
How so?
It's kind of a long one, but I think it's worth it, John. It was late in the spring of 1987, and Phillips was a graduate student at George Mason University. One of my favorite hangouts was the Follies, Phillips explains, referring to the notorious and now closed Go-Go Boy bar on Capitol Hill.
What?
There were so many closeted neocons who trolled for cock and ass. Particularly cock and ass on younger men.
Lying,
I'm not.
Man.
Terry
does
Dolan,
not say cock
John
and
Hinson,
ass.
And a bunch of other men who seemed to run in the close and secretive group. I had sex with them and a bunch of other men.
You did? Or?
This guy, Phillips.
Cock and ass?
At different times, at least based on the smooth talk and their attraction to 20-something geek. One of them I would later recognize is Larry Craig.
Whoa.
One night, Phillips continues, I followed Craig from the Follies to the Capitol Hill neighborhood, parking on the street, no telling how far from his house. We walked up the alley and through the back door of the house, with him repeating several times, you were never here. You don't know me, right? And me responding, right on.
Right on. He didn't say right on. Just
as we tiptoed from
the
back door to the stairs to the upper floor.
No.
As if somebody else was home, he turned to grope my crotch and brush my face with his hand.
Oh.
The house's decor led Phillips to believe that this was a married man. A bric-a-brac with family pictures didn't scream old queen to me. It announced a woman's influence. Still, we made our way upstairs. When we got to what reminded me of a rarely used guest room, he started stripping me down, and the man's hands and mouth were all over me.
Oh.
He kept his pants on, though, while laying me back on the bed to suck my cock. Then I stripped naked and asked me to suck him. I complied for a while, then he disappeared and returned with lube and a condom to fuck me with.
What's your fucking
fuck me?
It was a clumsy and unremarkable fuck, except that I wasn't clean and he was frantic about not getting my shit on anything. Still, he blew his load, ripped the dirty condom off,
and ordered me to get dressed
without wiping myself. He hurried me to the back door again, ranting, "You were never here. You don't know me, right?"
Do you suck dicks?
All right, now we've heard half of the story. But get this, John. Whoever wrote this article says Mr. Phillips' next claim is startling. Like, that wasn't startling enough, what we just heard. Indeed, on the way back down through the shit, with shit all in my briefs and feeling totally humiliated, I let my eyes wander, and I saw on a table a small envelope, like one from a gift or a floral arrangement, with Suzanne Craig neatly written on it. This memory, Phillips insists, I noted about 3 hours after hearing Craig's voice again, the night before I saw a current picture of him, and a good day before I heard of his wife in the news.
Are you a Peter Pepper?
That's who's going to fuck me up if she finds out, I thought. As he reached for the door, he took a $20 bill from his wallet, shoved it in my pocket, added, "Remember, I can buy and sell your ass 10,000 times over. You were never here. Don't try to come back here. You don't know me." When I next heard that voice 2 months ago, my mind went right back to that encounter.
Wow.
Leaving me feeling cold and used all over again. I wish I hadn't been a screwed up kid at the time and had the presence of mind to tell him to keep the money he shoved at me like I was part of a trade common to the Follies. So there you have it.
Wow.
This guy's coming out and saying, yeah, I ran the Hershey Highway with this guy, Larry Craig.
Wow.
How about that story, John?
It's out of sight, man.
Huh?
It's fucked up, dude. Fucking I don't know what to say. I'm reeling.
That's like Penthouse Forum for queers. For queens. And I thought I did a great read, John. I think I may have a new line of work.
Yeah, you might.
Do you suck dicks?
That's out of sight.
All right, now, John, turning to
internets.
Remember the tase me guy?
Yeah.
Don't tase me, bro?
Yeah.
Well, get this. University of Florida police were justified in using a taser.
What?
Against a student who refused to stop questioning Senator John Kerry on campus, according to a state investigation released Monday. And get this shit, John. Get this. The report details a campus incident involving Mayor on September 11th, a week before the Kerry event. The investigators state shed light on the student's mindset, John. It's mindset. During September 11th, a groundskeeper reported seeing Mayor argue on campus with supporters of former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani's presidential bid. The groundskeeper told investigators he heard Mayor tell a friend if he liked what he had seen, then he should go to the Kerry speech and he would really see a show. Okay, so that's one of their arguments for letting these...
Wait, how do they know ahead of time?
Well,
they
see, that's the thing. They're doing an investigation post-taser.
Post-taser. So
these fuckers who tasered him had no idea that he had a conversation a week before about the show that was really going to happen. They had no fucking idea. So why is this even in the goddamn record?
I don't know.
Is beyond me. The report then details the taser incident at the Kerry speech. According to the report, the events unfolded like this, John. This is from the report.
Don't tase me!
Ow!
Was that you that said ow? I thought I was a kid.
Meyer forced his way to a microphone. Did you get that impression?
No,
I didn't get that impression.
Video. I didn't see him force anybody.
After organizers already had announced that another person's question was going to be the last one, Meyer then began giving a speech that used a crass term for oral sex, John. What do you think that was? A blowjob? In referencing President Bill Clinton's impeachment, an organizer gave a signal for the microphone to be cut off. Okay, so the microphone wasn't cut off.
Right.
So all they have here is a argument he had the week before and that he used a crass term. That's why he got tasered.
I don't. Yeah,
for using a crass term, John. Are we fucking? Do we live in America? This was in Florida, wasn't it? That's really not like America.
No, that's not America at all. They're a bunch of fucking hillbillies.
I take
down
that
there.
Back. That, yeah, it was the University
Floridian
of Florida.
Hillbillies.
So what do you expect? Those fucking rednecks down there. Unbelievable. So that's just another piece of evidence that we live in a goddamn police state. Perpetrated by Bush and his goons. His cronies.
Yeah, no doubt.
His incompetent cronies. I like the new mix. Get this, John. Did you hear about this one? About FEMA? Did you hear about FEMA?
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got these wildfires raging in California.
Yeah.
Raging.
Raging.
Burning.
Like ass.
Kabajillions, brazillions of acres. Forcing people from their homes. And here is what FEMA did. FEMA. These are the fucktards who fucked up New Orleans.
FEMA.
Federal Emergency.
Monkeys.
In the ass. They staged a live press conference, John, at which agency staffers posed as journalists and asked softball questions. So it was a press conference, but with no press. It was all people from FEMA asking softball questions. But here's where the story really takes a turn for the worse. Okay, so they came out and they apologized. They said, yeah, we'll never let that do that again. And even the W came out and condoned that that behavior.
How dare they?
When the W is known.
He wouldn't have if nobody caught him.
Is known for fake press conferences.
Catapulting the propaganda.
I wonder if they had a D.C. Male prostitute ask questions in theirs over at FEMA.
Right,
like
the W
does with Jeff Gannon in his press conferences. But here's the one that really got my panties in a bunch. One of the staffers. So one of the guys who came up with this idea, this bright idea to have a press conference and have no press there. Director of External Affairs, John Pat Philbin, has now resigned. Okay.
Oh.
Right on. The guy should fucking resign. Yeah. But get this. He has instead landed an amazing opportunity.
Oh, sure.
To head public affairs at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So again, this guy completely fucks up, and what does the W do? He rewards him.
He catapults the propaganda.
The propaganda. Hey, we need a... Why didn't we think of that? Having a fake press conference. We need to have this guy be the Director of National Intelligence.
That is one big pile of shit.
Cheney.
Who's fallen asleep again?
Yeah.
Fucking retard. Unless they say Bob Moran. Oh, what? What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
We're in the last throes of the insurgency.
Now, not only that, John, with these wildfires, but Fox, for like a week, has been trying to link Al-Qaeda. To the wild Fortis.
Yeah, the Fortis. Wild Fortis.
Fortis.
It's really tough, that Fortis.
As more than a million people escaped the flames, Fox News anchors couldn't help speculating about a terrorism link to the blazes.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some people talk about this a little bit to me, but have you heard anybody suggest that this could be some form of terrorism? Fox and Friends co-host Steve Douchey.
Douchebag.
Asked Wednesday morning. Correspondent Adam Housley said he's received hundreds of comments from readers of his Fox News blog speculating about a link to terrorism.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a bunch of fucking retards commenting that, yeah, it might be Al-Qaeda.
I heard another theory.
What's that?
That it was Blackwater.
Oh,
and here's why.
What? Yeah,
because down there in San Diego, there's a town right by the border that they want to set up a huge fucking training camp, and everybody's been fighting it. The whole town has been saying, "No fucking way. We don't want you shooting off guns and throwing grenades, training each other." And they got mad and they said, hey, let's just fucking burn the place up and start a couple of fires. Because there's a bunch of areas where there's just trailer homes. And burning those people out, you know, instead of annexing or
right.
Eminent domain, they just burn them out. Now they got their eminent domain. They got their training area.
Well, they've relaxed a lot. Well, not even relaxed, but they've made those... The government can eminent domain whoever the fuck they want.
Right, right.
Because of the
fucking
W.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Cocksuckers. But, you know, John,
That's why I like Ron Paul.
You may think that it's bad news, all bad news with the wildfires, but I'm going to give you some good news. Determined to avoid the mistakes made after Hurricane Katrina, the W. That's right. President Bush toured the fire-ravaged Southern California on Thursday.
What a nice guy.
And not only that, he promised to do everything possible to help the region. So now I'm going to sleep better at night.
Yeah.
Aren't you, John?
Yeah.
Because everything that fucking guy said has been right on.
I love the money. I love people, too, that are saying that. Well, actually, Arnold.
Arnold.
He's a big hero to everybody because he...
Who, the W?
Yeah. No, no. Arnold.
Arnold.
Because he kicked it in. He kicked it in gear and said, hey, the state government can handle this.
Well, W even used that as an excuse for New Orleans. He said he kind of, not explicitly, but he said, it's so nice to work with state governments that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So saying that New Orleans, they didn't know what they're doing, so that's why I couldn't get my ass in gear.
Right. But, you know, it's a little different when the stadium you run to for shelter has electricity and running water as opposed to the one that the Katrina victims ran to and subsequently got kicked out so the Chargers game could play this weekend.
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out. You've been here long enough.
The weather's nice enough.
We have no homes. Go back to your homes. We can't because it's still raging, you fucker. Did you hear Glenn Beck about global warming?
I try not to listen to Glenn Beck.
This guy's a complete moron. I got a clip. Can I play it?
Yeah, of course. But who are the people that listen? Who are these
people? I don't know. But this
guy, we got to start asking our guests if they listen to O'Reilly and Glenn Beck.
I do.
And Rush.
I would have to in order to get these clips. Check this out.
We'll tell you the truth. We'll tell you the things that are politically incorrect. I'll go on and I'll tell you the fires have very little to do with global warming, if anything. The globe was the hottest in 1934, Stu, or 37? 34. 1934 was the hottest year. A stat, by the way, that was, I believe, intentionally distorted by the guy the left holds up as the scientist on global warming. America's temperature peaked in 1934. Since 1934, the hottest year on record was 1998. It has not gotten warmer since 1998. That's a fact.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know anything about this, but wasn't 2005 the hottest year on record?
Okay, well, you got to listen to him. He starts off the whole thing saying, we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you, we're going to talk about stuff that's politically incorrect. And he says the global temperature was the hottest.
The globe
was the hottest in 1934.
Right.
The United States was the hottest in 1934, not the globe.
Oh.
And then he says America later on was the hottest in 1934. So at first, and he doesn't say that he made a mistake. He had to, because he's telling the truth, he had to check with Stu, his producer, whoever
Stu.
The fuck that Stu is, Stooge, in the studio to tell him it wasn't 1937, it's 1934. But he said the global, well, actually, you're right. It was 2005.
Okay. Now when it's 2005, is that the globe?
That's the globe
being the warmest,
Scott.
But the U.S. globe was not the warmest in 2005.
No.
In
1934,
the U.S. was the hottest, but
yeah,
the globe.
Right.
And we're not talking about U.S. warming. We're talking about global warming.
Yeah, during the last 100 years, it's risen like 1.33 plus degrees Fahrenheit in the last 100 years. And these basic conclusions have been endorsed by at least 30 scientific societies and academies.
Academies.
That's what it says. Academies.
Academia? Academia?
Academies.
Academies?
A-C-A-D-E-M-I-E-S.
All right.
Academias?
I don't know. Who knows?
Of science, including all of the National Academies of Science.
And Al Gore.
Academies. It's academies. Academies of science. Academies. On Jui.
Al Gore. Don't forget Al Gore.
Al Gore.
He invented the internet,
of
Sir
the
John.
Of the major industrialized countries, a few individual scientists disagree with some of the main conclusions of the IPCC. It came out that it says here, based on the estimates by NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, who is the guy he's talking about, 2005 was the warmest year since reliable, widespread instrumental measurements became available in the late 1800s, exceeding the previous record set in 1998 by a few hundredths of a degree. Estimates prepared by the World Meteorological Organization and the Climate Research Unit concluded that 2005 was the second warmest year behind 1998. So they can't agree. As far as the few individual scientists, global warming is not occurring at all. One scientist. Believe accuracy of the IPCC climate projections is inadequate, too. So maybe that's who they're talking to about. Believe global warming is primarily caused by natural processes. 22 individual scientists, Scott. And believe cause of global warming is unknown. 9. Believe global warming will be a benefit to human society. 2 scientists.
Well, I really haven't followed this subject at all, but to me, the planet, throughout its history, has gotten hotter, it's gotten colder. Hotter, colder. Ice age? You ever hear a fucking ice age?
Right.
And then there's the opposite of ice age, whatever they fucking call that.
Right.
And that's just part of the planet's history, and it's going to happen again. I think the big debate...
they have a chart that charts the global temperature from the 1800s all the way to currently, and it is going up, and they project that by 2070 to 2100, it'll increase 5 degrees. And I have no idea why those fires, be it because somebody started them and somebody, a lightning bolt started the fire. I mean, part of nature, fires, actually, Rick used to talk about this, that The fires are good for nature because they promote new growth. They kill off all the old stuff, and then there's new stuff that grows in its place. And it's a natural occurrence in Arizona. You know, it's just bad
for
people. Natural
process.
You put a fucking house in its path, and hey, guess what? It's the same thing with a hurricane or a tornado. Anything that's in nature's path, it's going to fuck it up.
Fuck it up, man.
No doubt. So,
well, getting back to global warming, I think the debate is, to me, it's just part of the process of Earth. But to some people, there's a human element, a human cause.
Right.
And that's, I think, where the big debate is.
That's the debate, right.
Is there a human interaction with this global warming, or is it just a natural occurrence? And
but,
that's where you get the scientists that split.
But to have an opinion such as like...
A Glenn Beck,
who's a complete fucking dumbass that has to ask his producer because he doesn't have the facts. He says, that's a fact at the end of his... And then later on in the... I don't have the audio, but later on, he calls the people a bunch of hippies and losers because they didn't want to clear the brush away because it's part of nature. Well, you know what? It is part of nature. Nobody's complaining that the fire started and their houses got burned up because what are they going to do? What are they going to have in front of their house? Nothing? I mean, at some point, if you have a fucking tree in front of your house and some grass and it doesn't rain for a while, it's going to burn. If somebody throws a lit cigarette or whatever it is, it's going to happen. But to say that, oh, don't clear the brushwood, well, it is part of a natural resource that we have. It's nice to look at it. Leave it there. If the community says leave the fucking natural resources there, leave them the fuck there.
Well, that's the point when the community says. But no, Glenn Beck, he's smarter
than
all of us.
Yeah.
He's the guy who knows. He fucking knows. He's going to tell them because he knows.
I want to fight his ass, too. Pussy.
Well, get this, John. The U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could cost taxpayers a total of how much? How much do you think? And this is a conservative estimate.
Now or in the future?
By 2017.
$3 trillion.
$2.4 trillion by 2017 when counting the interest rates because combat is being financed with borrowed money. Isn't that great?
Yeah, China.
The W indicated a large contingent of U.S. troops will likely be engaged in Iraq and Afghan for many years to come.
Wow.
They estimate interest costs alone are going to be $700 billion.
Wow.
Do you know what that means, John? I'll break it down for you. That's
$8,000
for every man, woman, and child.
Wow. You know what a statistic I heard?
What is that?
And I'm not going to even be right about it, but this guy called in some radio show and said a bank compressed $1,000 bills as hard as they could, and it turns out that it equals like 4 inches if you measure $1,000 single dollar bills together equals 4 inches. If you measure it up to be $1 billion, it's like 75 miles or something.
Whoa.
And a trillion is like 750 miles.
That is goddamn ridiculous.
Just to give you an idea of how many trillion is in dollar bills stacked.
What about
not on end.
What about a Brazilian?
A Brazilian? I don't know. Well, how many is a Brazilian?
John, let's not forget, when the W got us into this fucking mess, how much did he say it would cost?
I think like 600 grand or something.
No, he said 50 billion.
50 billion.
So he was off by subtract 50 billion from 2.4 trillion, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's how much he was off by. And get this, the House Budget Committee held a hearing to discuss the $2.4 trillion price tag.
Yeah.
Republican lawmakers on the committee didn't even show up.
What Jesus a bunch of fucking
Christ.
Pussies. Because they're out toe-tapping in a fucking airport bathroom with Larry Craig.
Oh, Larry Useless Craig's fucks. Latest. He is...
Come on!
He's challenging it as free speech now.
What?
He was just exercising his free speech.
That's, by toe-tapping?
He went and he said, hey, I want to get my guilty plea overturned, and they said, fuck off. So now he's coming back, and his lawyers are saying it's a free speech argument.
Oh, Jesus
He was
Christ.
Exercising his free speech.
Somebody should tase him.
One last story, John.
What's
and
that?
We've talked about the W.
Yeah.
He's going to time it to strike Iran just before the election so he can cancel him.
What?
And here we go. Here's the start. The United States imposed stiff sanctions against Iran on Thursday, targeting two militant groups and a number of Iranian banks and people it accuses of backing nuclear proliferation and terror-related activities.
Wow.
What this means is that no U.S. citizen or private organization will be allowed to engage in financial transactions with these persons or entities, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said. In addition, any assets that these designees have will be immediately frozen.
Well, that's weird because the barely reported highlight of Russian President Vladimir Putin's visit to Tehran for the Caspian Sea Summit last week was a key face-to-face meeting with Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. A high-level diplomatic source in Tehran tells Asia Times Online that essentially Putin and the Supreme Leader have agreed on a plan to nullify the George W. Bush administration's relentless drive towards launching a preemptive attack, perhaps a tactical nuclear strike against Iran. An American attack on Iran will be viewed by Moscow as an attack on Russia.
World War III, John.
But actually, it goes even further because they don't want World War III. They want to do everything they can to to avoid that.
That's why we got to get this fuckface out of office.
Which even means that the Ayatollah might consider ousting Amana Dinner Jacket.
Amana Dinner Jacket.
Yeah.
Right on. Oh, I do have one more story. This is hot off the press. Rumsfeld, remember this guy?
Yeah.
Ronald Dumsfeld?
Yeah.
He's said to have fled France to avoid torture arrest.
What?
On Friday, while former Secretary of Defense
pussy
Ronald Dumsfeld was visiting France, human rights-based groups in the United States filed complaints against him, charging him with approving torture. Rumsfeld is accused of authorizing torture at Gitmo, John. Gitmo.
Gitmo.
The French complaint accuses Rumsfeld of authorizing torture at Gitmo as well and Abu Ghraib in Iraq and says it violated the Convention Against Torture, which came into force in 1987. Get this.
Wow.
One source cites unconfirmed reports that Dumsfeld was abruptly whisked away from a breakfast meeting on Friday in order to avoid his arrest.
Wow.
They almost got that motherfucker. Pussy. And he can't ever go back to France. You and I can go to France, right, John. But Donald Dumsfeld can't go to France.
Donald Dumsfeld.
Cocksucker.
No doubt.
All right, let me get the door. Hold on.
All right. I don't know. I didn't see his car. Maybe he walked.
Hey,
come on back, man. Yeah, it's him, obviously.
All right, I'm back.
Dude, you're back fast. He's got some big feet, that dude.
Big ass feet.
Holy shit. All right, sit down.
Well, thank you, John. Let me just get my hands on here.
I tripped over your drum set.
Jesus Christ. Sit down already. Oh, my God. All right, so... we got some Giuliani clips. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Giuliani. Let me try to remember.
Giuliani.
Oh, I think I know what's going on here. So Giuliani has this old friend of his that's basically a pedophile priest. So let's hear what Giuliani has to say about his old friend.
Good morning, Diane. For Rudy Giuliani, it is apparently a case of loyalty to a close friend. But the friend is a priest accused of sexually abusing teenage boys and currently banned from performing his priestly duties by the church. And now some of the priest accusers want to know why Giuliani is defending and protecting him.
When he went to Rome this year, Giuliani was accompanied by his wife Judith and his longtime friend and priest, Monsignor Alan Placa.
Alan Placa has been a friend of mine for 38 years, 39 years. I know him really well.
Placa was a college classmate and best man at Giuliani's first wedding. The priest at Giuliani's second wedding to Dinah Hanover. And now, Placa works for Giuliani at his consulting firm, Giuliani Partners.
Oh.
Yeah, so this pedophile priest, Giuliani's got him working for him. What's funny is he was at his first wedding, his second wedding. And Giuliani, is he engaged or is he on his fourth marriage now?
I know. He's, you know, running on that family values ticket like all these fucking whack jobs.
Right, right. With four frickin' wives? You can't even get a marriage straight. You're going to try to run the goddamn country? But then you think about the W. This guy couldn't get a goddamn thing straight, and they let him run the company. I mean country.
It is a company now, Scott, according to Parabali.
Yeah, so I think the second clip is one of the guys who was... face raped by Placa, this guy that Giuliani has known for 38 years.
Placaca.
So, hey, I've known him for 38 years, so if he wants to rape boys, that's okay with me. Is that what he's saying? I don't know what fuck is wrong with this guy.
As he started to explain how these posters should be done, I realized that something's rubbing my body, and I didn't know what it was. When after a minute, I realized that he's feeling me.
Tona and the others testified before a grand jury in Suffolk County, New York, which concluded that Priest F, who Tona says is Baca, had sexually molested three teenage boys again and again and again.
Do you suck
the report
dicks?
Also accused Priest F of being instrumental in developing a church policy that used deception and intimidation to essentially keep the church scandal quiet.
Come on!
It sounds like W regime, deception and intimidation.
No.
Yeah.
In terms of, the detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble. That means not tell the truth. So it's an absurd report. It just is. And, Yes, sir.
The thing that gets me about that clip is trained to disassemble.
Yeah.
Who needs to be trained to lie? Who need,
no, disassemble. To disassemble
right,
something.
Disassemble is to lie, John, okay?
Oh, I thought it meant to.
Disassemble? That means lie?
That means tell, no, don't tell the truth?
So who needs that type of training? Is there that? Who gives that training? Can I go to a training, one-week seminar on how to disassemble? The goddamn joke. The chimp.
The chimp.
The chimp. All right, sorry about that, Phil. Whenever you're ready.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TPN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
And our first story tonight. One man is in prison after allegedly stabbing the driver he hitched a ride with over the weekend. The victim is recovering, but it's the details of the case that officials say make it unlikely anything they've ever seen before. Fannin County Sheriff's deputies received the original call at 2:40 on Saturday afternoon about a suspect involved in stabbing located at the intersection of County Road and Highway 11. When deputies arrived on the scene, they found that the case they were working on involved a lot more than they had planned. When deputies arrived at the scene, they found James Wayne Evans, 43, a hitchhiker, who confessed to stabbing the person who gave him a ride and apparently expected something in return.
Oh.
Whatever the individual that picked up the hitchhiker wanted more intimacy, and that was to happen. He determined at that point the intimacy would stop, said Fannin County Sheriff Kenneth Moore. And you're wondering, what does this all mean, aren't you? Officials say Evans was hitchhiking down Interstate 30 when a white female, known only as Angie, picked him up. Soon thereafter, the 42-year-old driver invited Evans back to her house barn, just outside of Wolf City. When they arrived, the two became intimate, John. The officials say Angie asked Evans to perform oral sex on her.
Oh, fuck.
That's when they say Evans got quite a surprise. When he did comply with the female subject, he found out it was, in fact, not a female, but a male.
Oh.
Officials say Evans pulled out a knife and stabbed Angie, who was a man, multiple times. Oh. Angie was flown to Parkland Hospital, where he was treated and released. Authorities warn, regardless of the situation, that picking up hitchhikers is never a good idea.
Oh.
I don't know what individual walking down the highway, why in the world you'd stop and pick somebody up you don't know, because it's today's environment. That's just not a safe thing to do, says Moore. Evans was taken into custody, and bond has been set at $50,000,
wow.
Sean. Next story. This is from the stupidest survey ever, where everyone involved should lose their scientific credentials department.
Credentials?
Men looking for casual sex are most likely to try to get some from girls named Kelly. Next story, John.
Oh.
This next story is out of the UK. UK man attempts to have sex with bike in the privacy of his own room. A man has been placed in sex offenders registry after being caught trying to have sex with a bicycle.
Oh.
Robert Stewart was discovered in his room by two cleaners. On Wednesday, Mr. Stewart admitted to sexual breach of the peace where depute fiscal Gail Davidson described how he had been found by the hotel workers. She said, "They knocked on the door several times and there was no reply. They used a master key to unlock the door and they observed the accused wearing only a t-shirt, naked from the waist down. The accused was holding the bike and moving his hips back and forth as if to simulate sex." Sex.
Stex.
Both witnesses were extremely shocked, notifying the hotel manager who in turn alerted police. Mr. Stewart was placed on the sex offender's registry.
You're one Stexy whore.
He is not the first man to be convicted of sex offense involving an inanimate object, however.
Oh.
Carl Watkins, an electrician, was jailed for having sex with pavements in Redditch. I'm sorry, Phil. That can't be real, right?
No, it says right here.
Sex with pavements in Redditch. In 1993.
Wow.
Next story, John.
Wow.
In a new low, even for Florida, a 33-year-old teacher has sex with her mentally disabled 16-year-old student. Next story, John. Aspiring writer turns out to be an accomplished cannibal. An aspiring writer who left a horror scene of body parts in his apartment after a raid on Thursday of charges of murder and desecrating a corpse after he allegedly cut up and ate part of his girlfriend's body.
Mm.
Jose Luis Calva, better known in tabloids as Mexico City's cannibal, refused to make a formal plea, saying, "I can't get my thoughts together now, man." Police say that he had previously acknowledged killing 32-year-old girlfriend Angelina Galena, and prosecutors believe he killed and dismembered two other girlfriends, but have not charged him for those crimes. He killed her because he was high on cocaine.
Cocaine.
Said defense attorney Hubert Guaro Plata. He didn't eat her. He just cut her body up. Calva told police he cooked the flesh in order to feed it to the neighborhood dogs.
Oh.
As a way to get rid of the body. Next story, John.
You know what he did after he ate her?
I do not.
He dumped her. And when he got pulled over by the police, they said, we're going to arrest you, you know, for speeding.
Right.
He said, have a heart.
Have a heart. That's Yeah. All right, next story, John.
Thank you so much.
This is exactly what they had in mind when drafting the Constitution, John. Senator Larry Craig is to argue that soliciting in the bathroom is free speech. Sucking a guy's cock is freedom of expression. Next story, John.
That is one big pile of shit.
Church offers Jesus-friendly alternative haunted house for kids this Halloween. National Avenue what? Assembly of God. The National Avenue Assembly of God.
Come on. That's a lie, man.
Will you two get it together?
It's Satan deceiving
National
us.
Avenue Assembly of God will host a Halloween alternative this weekend that is meant to give young people a new way to look at issues of today.
Boo, it's me, the Holy Ghost.
External Nightmare will feature walkthrough scenes that depict the horrors of drugs, alcohol, abortion,
and gayness,
self-mutilation, and more, said Reverend Jim Cookson, pastor of the church. The final scene will present the story of Jesus Christ as the answer to those horrors. Next story, John. Hillary Clinton says Hillary Clinton says that dental surgery makes Bill horny.
What?
Dental surgery. Makes Bill
no.
horny. When a intern the size of a hippo makes Bill want to ram cigars in her gunt. What doesn't make this man horny? Next story, John. This is a TTN News quiz. I think I may start adding this to my news segment. This is a TTN News quiz. Which presidential candidate suggests that students pursuing worthless college degrees should get less financial support? Which one? Which presidential candidate suggests that students pursuing worthless college degrees
should get
less financial support?
I don't know.
Well, that would be Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, John. Next story.
It's out of sight.
All right. Next. Next and last story, John. Tonight. Man allegedly found with inflatable doll in public restroom.
Wow.
This is out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. A man was arrested after a government agent allegedly found him at the office building restroom lying next to an inflatable, anatomically correct doll.
Lying next to? Wait a minute. What?
Found him in an office building restroom lying next to an inflatable anatomically correct doll with his pants down.
Wow.
Craig S. McCullough, 47, was charged Wednesday with indecent exposure, a misdemeanor.
Wow.
The criminal complaint against McCullough says he was discovered in a public restroom by an agent for the U.S. Migration I'm sorry, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, which is one of the federal agencies that rents space in the Hock office building. McCullough's criminal record includes a 2004 conviction for burglarizing Just For Me Bridal Boutique. Shortly after the burglary, police officers found McCullough in a nearby alley carrying a mannequin wearing a bridal dress.
Wow.
And that's the news, John.
Wow. All right, Phil.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for stopping.
Thank you, Scott. Try to contain yourself during my newscast. It's very difficult when you guffaw and gahaw the entire time. It's very serious business.
Right.
All right, then.
All right, see ya.
Sorry about that. Hold on, I got caught up in your drum set. All right, then.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus H. Christ, you blasphemous motherfucker!
Later.
Happy Halloween!
Wow.
Whoa. Whoa. Woo. I do have one more story, John.
You do?
It's about the W. And I think it's starting to crumble for the W, because here's the L.A. Times, John. The L.A. Times has a story. And the title of the story is Straight Jacket the W. Straight Jacket W. That's the title of the story. The president's warmongering remarks on the Iranian threat suggest he is psychotic. Really. So they say, forget impeachment. This guy's a chimp. We need to get him the fuck out of the office, is how the rest of the article goes. Yeah. But for somebody, who was it? Who was the guy about a year ago on, was it CNN? He asked the question, is the W an idiot?
Yeah. That would be the...
that was the first.
Joe Scarborough.
Now you have in print people calling for the W to be put in a straitjacket and sent to a goddamn rubber room. And I can't think of a better room for him to be in. As long as they put like a little tire swing in it for him, you know? With some bananas. Maybe a little red lever.
Yeah. So he can get food.
That he can pull. All right, John, that's all I got for
All right.
episode 108, John. 108. Satan came by.
No doubt.
That was a big surprise.
You've been listening
You've
been listening to us.
John and Scott of Total Talk Nonsense. And check out our website at TotalTalkNonsense.com.
Give us a call.
Check out our Skype line. Leave us a message. If you want to drop us an email, contribute to the show.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
The forum will be down next Wednesday.
Oh, will?
During Halloween.
Oh, this Wednesday.
So hopefully Spenny will clean up all those sticky posts.
Right.
Purge some posts. Who knows what she... Maybe she'll just make over the whole thing. And it'll be like a pastel kind of a thing.
Ooh.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, yeah, well, you've been listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.
He's John.
He's Scott. And don't forget, when you're listening to us, the W is listening to you.
Right on, John.
Later.
Later. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.